Welcome to Living Faith Online with Pastor Connie McLean.
Come on, we talked about it. There's some that's going to be baptized today. Come on, let's join into the worship.
All right, our first candidate for baptism is Mikel Talaferro. Let's give it up for Mikel. Praise the Lord. 17 years old.
All right, Mikel. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus.
Our next candidate is Nasir Talaferro. 18 years old. Praise God.
Now, Nasir, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Our next candidate is Greg Quarterbaum, and I watched him grow up in children's ministry, 10 years old. Praise God.
Accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus.
And our next candidate, our last candidate, is Makayla Coleman. 13 years old. Praise God. Thank God for our young people accepting Jesus at a young age. Praise God. Amen.
Mikayla, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus.
God for our young people committing their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ and for this new start on their spiritual journey. Thank you to Minister Allen and Elder Robert for performing the baptism, and thank you for all of you coming out to support your family and friends. It's time to
come on, let's celebrate. Come on, let's stand up on our feet. The word is coming. But come on, let's do a little bit more faith worship in the room. Come on. Yeah. Let me testify real quick. What my eyes can't see, I still believe. Everything that's spoken to me, there's no word that can come back. Trust, yeah, they're part of the love. This is my confidence. You never fail. Oh. I see you move. You move the mountains. And I believe. I see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way. And I believe. I see everybody shaking down there. I see you move. Come on.
You move the mountains.
And I believe. I see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way.
And I believe.
Come on, church, let's lift it up.
I see you do
it. I see you. You'll be all right. cause his promise still stands. You'll be alright. You'll be alright. You'll be alright. You'll be alright. His promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. Still in your hands, this is my confidence. Never fail me. I'm gonna lift your hands in the room, we're moving. Yeah. Cause you'll be all right. You'll be all right. His promise says, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. Now say, I'll be all right. Say, I'll be all right. Now that's your faith right there. Yeah. Say it in the room, say. Let the enemy know. I'll be all right. Oh, no, 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 I'll be all right. I'll be all right. Even on the tough days, I'll be all right. I'll be all right. Say, I'll be all right. Now yell it out in the room. Say, I'll be. Now clap your hands by faith if you already know it's already done. Come on, come on. Lift up a praise if you already know it's already done. Look at the situation and say, it's already done, and I'll be all right.
To God. Just as sure as God is God, you'll be all right. Matter of fact, God's more than an all right God. You'll be more than all right. Hallelujah. You'll be giving your testimony, telling people what God did for you because you believed. Amen? So be encouraged. Be encouraged. Is anything too hard for God? Nope. 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 Just like the song said, he'll make a way out of no way. God will create something that never existed for you and for me. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's somebody here, and I'm assuming that's what she was saying when she was in her situation. So Gail Quarterbaum, where's Gail? Is Gail here? Come on, we want to hear what happened. Gail. I'll tell you just a teeny bit while she comes up here. She was in Jamaica during that hurricane. So she had an extended stay. Amen. And she gave the ministry this big Christmas tree plant. And because she's just so happy and thankful. Amen. So, here, you can stay there, Gail.
Okay.
Oh, you got it. Okay.
Good morning. It still bothers me a little bit.
Okay.
I thank God that we made it through.
Right.
My daughter had treated me for my birthday. which was in October. Hers was the 27th and mine was the 23rd. So we had went to, we left the 24th, which was on that Friday. By that Sunday, we were told it was a hurricane coming. We had to hunker down. We stayed in the bathroom for 3 days, slept on the floor. My daughter, I, my niece, and my three-year-old grandson. We didn't come out until that Wednesday when everything was calm. We heard the winds, we prayed. We put the mattress, the doors were glass to our hotel rooms. Mm-hmm. We put the mattress up against the window, the doors, and the couch behind that to secure the glass from breaking. So we heard the winds and we continued to pray and pray, and I was in, we lost power. We lost power, the generators kicked in. We didn't have internet. And through the grace of God, I was able to get in contact with Mickey. Mm-hmm. And Mickey and I kept contacting each other through texting,
right,
as much as I could do. So when she said, I'm going to let Pastor know right away. She said, Pastor is praying for you guys. So I thank God for everyone here and the pastor of this church. I've been in this church for 31 years. I've been with this ministry, my family and I. And I thank God that through it all, I was able to enlist some other people. Jack and his wife, Norman. We were co-workers, and I introduced them to this church. Mm-hmm. And through prayer, they're still here, and I'm here. So I thank God that God has been moving in my life, not only in my life, in my friends' lives as well, as I can see. Mm-hmm. So I thank God for you, Pastor, and the members of this church for keeping us in prayer during that time of need,
right,
because we were very afraid. But we kept our faith, and we continued to pray through that storm because we heard the 100-whatever miles an hour wind. By the time we came out that Wednesday morning, they allowed us to come out. The cars looked like they were in an accident. The windows were blown out. The hotel room windows were blown out. But through it all, God kept us.
Mm-hmm.
He kept us through the prayers. So I thank God. And I continue to bring my family and bring in other people's families, the children that I minister to through the care that and the love that I give to them. And I bring them to church with me as much as I can. I'm a foster mom. I seem like I've been doing it all my life. But I thank God for this time and this church for keeping me, because I've been through some stuff. Mm-hmm. But I thank God for you all. Yeah. Minister Kim, Minister Vonda, they helped me and my family through that time. And Mickey and Pastor. Thank you, Pastor.
Who was with, what members of your family were with you?
My daughter, Alexis.
Is she here?
No, she's not here.
Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else in the family?
No, they're here, but they didn't attend with us.
Okay.
Just me here.
Okay, today. Okay.
My son got baptized.
Okay. He wasn't with you?
No.
Okay. All right, so what I'm going to do is, you've been through something traumatic.
Yes.
So
nightmares sometimes.
Yeah, so I have learned that when we experience trauma, like really hard situations, that our body stores it. So I'm going to lay hands on you and command all the trauma to leave all of your cells. Okay, and with anything, the more you think on something, you just dig that experience deeper and deeper. So I know it's fresh for you, but you're going to have to make sure you not think about it. You know, when you do think about it, just, God, I thank you, I'm alive, that you saved us, that you preserved us. So think about the good part. Result of the trauma of the hurricane, instead of thinking about the experience itself, right?
Yes.
So I know it's fresh. I know it just happened, but that's what we all have to do. We can't just keep rehearsing our trauma. it'll never go away. It'll never leave us. You know, anything we go through, we should get to a point where it's just our testimony, not being frozen in time, because God created us to move on and move forward. So, okay. All right, so I'm going to lay hands on you. Father, in Jesus' name, I lay hands on your daughter, and we all rejoice with her that she and her family have come home safely. God, you protected them. You protected them. And so, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you that she's still here. They're still alive. They're not hurt. They're not harmed physically. They're not injured. In Jesus' name, I curse the memory of trauma that's in Gail's body. From the top of her head to the tips of her toes, I command, I curse that trauma. I break your power. I break your hold over her in Jesus' name. And I command trauma to come out of all of Gwen's cells. You come out of all of her cells. The memory of the trauma of that hurricane, you leave her body now in Jesus' name. Cells don't remember the trauma anymore. Don't react to the trauma anymore. I call you healed and restored and whole and peaceful and happy in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Oh, you need a tissue. Oh. But you're alive. You're alive. Yay. Woo-hoo. It was all right. Okay. Amen. You're so welcome. Yep. I'm glad you could contact us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody bless the Lord. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Take my phone out. Amen. I have something on my phone I might read, so I'm not being rude. But I do have some I might share here. All right. Y'all ready for the word? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to touch on a couple things. You know, we've been talking about being seated with Christ. And, you know, for some people it can be a hard concept. But everything that we, everything in the word, we have to believe it by faith. We just got to trust. If that's what God said, if that's how God says it works, we have to trust that and just believe it by faith. And then that will make things happen in our lives. So, you know, there's a scripture where it says when Jesus returns, will he find what? Will he find faith? Jesus is looking for faith so he can do something in us and through us and for us. Amen. Because we can't, there's a lot that he wants us to do and that we need to do that we cannot do on our own. Amen? Praise God. All right, so why don't you lift up your Bibles, iPads, cell phones, whatever you got, with the Word of God on it. Amen? Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I can have what it says I can have. Say, it will lift me up out of darkness into the light, out of sickness into health, out of poverty into wealth. Somebody say, this day, after hearing and receiving the ever-living, the everlasting Word of God, I will never be the same again. Never, 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 ever, ever, ever will I be the same again in Jesus' name. Somebody say, just one word from God will change your life. Hallelujah. Even if you say, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. Let me, we're talking about being seated with Christ. Amen. We're talking about the book of Ephesians talks about being seated with Christ. So we're going to, and walking in Christ and being able to stand as a result of being in Christ. Amen. So we're seated with Jesus. We walk amongst each other. We walk amongst the earth as representatives of God. And our position with the enemy, the devil, is to stand against him. Amen? But we can't stand unless we're seated first. In other words, knowing who we are. Amen? You know, I was thinking about, you know, when King Charles passes away, right, in England, then Prince William will become king. But being prince is different than being king. So to function as a king or to function as somebody who is seated with Christ, we can no longer be a regular person. We have to be, you know, when we're seated with Christ, we find out who we are and what we are so we can walk out who we are and what we are. Now, I hope I don't share too much today if I get to what I want to share. I hope it's not too much, but I'm sure we'll all pick up something, okay? So it's like I'm going to, anyway, all right. Let's read Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. Now remember, everything is by faith. We were born again by faith. There was no proof, right? There was no physical proof that we could be born again. We believed God and it happened. Amen? Everybody's experience is different. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Far above, somebody say, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Amen? So we see there that Jesus was raised up from the dead, and he was seated at the right hand in heavenly places, far above. So I'm going to be touching on today how our authority comes from high up. And so that's why we fail to live as Christians properly, because we're too busy trying to function horizontally. We know mostly about earthly authority. But it's important for us, to know that our authority and power comes from a high place, by faith, okay? Nobody comes down here and really gives us a badge and a gun, but we do have it by faith. God has given us the authority to take dominion, and he's given us the power to do it, okay? So tell somebody, I'm not powerless. So don't be calling me weak. Don't tell me I'm a nobody. Amen? Praise God. So my mindset is, I don't know whether I mentioned this before, but my mindset is it's a terrible thought to think that we would get to heaven and find out who we were, who we were really supposed to be. Why do we want to wait to get to heaven? Let's find out now. Find out what my purpose is. Find out what power I have. Find out what authority I have now. Find out what God had planned for us. Why should we wait to get to heaven and so we can tell God, oh my goodness, that's what I was supposed to do? Oh my goodness, Jesus, is that what I was supposed to have? Where I was supposed to live? Who I was supposed to help? This, oh Lord, this is the power that I was supposed to have on earth? Now to me, that's a sad thought. So I'm on a mission for us to kick the devil's behind. I saw a poster on YouTube or something, and it said, make heaven overcrowded. You know? Let's get people saved. Let's deliver people. Let's use the authority and the power and the love of God that we've been given in order to take dominion in the earth, right? So we can make some things happen. We shouldn't be spectators. Tell the person next to you, don't be a spectator. Amen? We shouldn't be just looking at what's happening. We should be involved. So we see in Ephesians 1 that Jesus was raised from the dead and seated in heavenly places. And then let's look at Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. So we see where Jesus is, okay? And he's far above. He's been seated far above. Somebody say, that's the third heaven. Jesus seated far above in the third heaven. There are three heavens. There's the third heaven where God lives. That's God's country. Then there's a second heaven where you can see spiritual activity, right? That's where demons function. That's where angels function. And then you have the first heaven, which is the clouds, the Milky Way, you know, all that stuff. You know, where as far as we can tell, that's where God's creation of the earth ends, even though I've heard that when God speaks, it's still creating. But what he made that surrounds us, our atmosphere, is the first heaven. Amen? And so so it says, so Jesus was seated in heavenly places, which means the third heaven. Ephesians 2, let's read that. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Somebody say that's Satan. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Somebody say that. That's not me. At least it shouldn't be me. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Those days are supposed to be over for us. We retired from that. Amen. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. But that's why I'm starting from our position in Christ in the heavenly realm. It's like we need to shoot for high. I'm thinking we can be motivated. What I want to talk about today, we can be motivated to see where we should be instead of dealing straight with where we are. In other words, to give us vision, right? If God would show us a movie, a video of us at the peak of our spirituality, fully functioning in the power and authority of God, then that should give us some focus, right? To know that we're supposed to be functioning from a high place, but we're too busy functioning in the low place. And there's always stuff, right? There's always, you know, when I think about, we're in such a horrible day, such a hard day in being a Christian. There are so many distractions. People, you know, when I first got saved, it wasn't that many distractions, the phone and all that stuff. It's crazy, crazy now. One thing after another. They've discovered how to get people addicted. They called it death scrolling, I think they call it. Death scrolling. Next thing you know, 2 hours, 4 hours, right? You know, they asked young people, this is a while back, they asked young people, young adults, would you rather have a car or your phone? Guess what they said? The phone. I'm like, give me a car. I can't ride no phone nowhere. If I lost all my money, I can't sleep in my phone. At least I can sleep in a car. You know, but that's the mentality. That's how hooked everybody is. So now the Word of God, and God has so much competition. But if we do not know who we are, if our minds are not renewed with the Word of God, if we don't read the Word of God other than when we read it here on the screen, I know I'm not talking to y'all, that's not going to cut it. That's not going to cut it. You're going to get beat up one side and down the other and never know and be one of the ones in heaven saying, oh, God, that's, you had all that for me. So that's sad to me. So I want to make sure I get something done. Amen. And you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because y'all my peeps. Amen. So were we finished reading? Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh. That would be death scrolling or doom scrolling, whatever they call it. Everything that preoccupies, everything that this body and this the flesh, the mind of the flesh wants to do and is craving for and screaming for. Amen? Y'all know. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. I mean, even that can be hard for people to be convinced that God has a great love for you, right? Okay. I'm not good with bugs. I'm going to have to knock them or sock them or something. Okay. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Come on, read that with me. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Verse 6. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We all know, again, I'll repeat it, we were not saved by our good deeds, because we didn't have any. Like, you know, I know you can witness to people and they say, well, I think I'm a good person. That ain't going to get you in heaven. You got to be a new creature to get in heaven, right? You can't get in heaven without being a new creature. Not of works or not of our efforts, lest anyone should boast. So nobody's going to boast to God and say, I did this, I did that, I gave this, I gave that, I sacrificed this, I sacrificed that. No, we got saved by his grace. Straight up, a gift. He favored us. He had mercy on us, right? And we got saved, all right? So we see there, it says that Jesus was raised and seated in heaven. We were raised with him and seated with him in heaven. So knowing that that's a cool and powerful place to be, seated with Christ, right? that should do something for our mentality. But we get so, you know, the scripture says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, right? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And then the next verse says, and all things are of God. So, and then the scripture before that says that we should no longer know any man in the flesh. Come on, y'all. Flesh messes us up. I mean, we got mother and daughter sitting here. If they get familiar and stay familiar with each other in the flesh, or a married couple, or any of us, if we relate to each other in the flesh, then we're going to mess up. We're going to start judging them based on us. It's so funny that some people, I know that's none of you, but some people, they think that their judgment is correct. Well, you should have done that for me. Or how could you do that? You know, and then thank you to Angel, and now everybody has to stand up to your standards when you're all wrong, right? Because you don't know who you're seated with, right? You don't know the creature in Christ that you are, a new creature, a non-judgmental creature, right? And so that'll mess us up with our relationships. But none of us, that's why Jesus said, there's no one good but God. So everything we do would have to be based on God's goodness, not anybody else's. So we want to know how to be good, we got to look at God. Amen? Like Jesus did, who walked this earth, and he did everything his Father told him and showed him what to do. He operated out of heavenly authority. That's how he could do what he did. That's how Jesus could do what he did, not because of who he was, because he came here in the flesh to demonstrate to us, this is how you can live when you listen to our Heavenly Father. Right? Now, we know none of us are perfect, but we shouldn't use living in this flesh as an excuse. Tell somebody, say, you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. So what happens, we're down here on earth. We don't know that we get our authority from the third heaven, from God, from Jesus, who is the head of the church. And so all the icky stuff and all this horizontal stuff gets in the way. And it interferes, then we can't get power from on high, right? Oh, this is by what? By faith, right? Eventually, it should be by demonstration. We can see how we're functioning. But when we get started flowing in the authority and power of God, then we have to do it by faith. And then eventually, we'll have some experience, right? But we're supposed to be enforcing what Jesus did. Enforcing what Jesus did. Did I give y'all 1 John 3, 8? Maybe, maybe not. I'm not sure. 1 John 3 and verse 8, the second half. I'll read the whole thing in the Amplified. It says, but he who commits sin, who practices evil doing, is of the devil, takes his character from the evil one, for the devil has sinned, violated the divine law from the beginning. The reason the Son of God was made manifest, visible, was to undo, somebody say undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works the devil has done. That's the Amplified. Let me read again. Now, that's why Jesus came. But Jesus, before he left, he gave us his authority. The authority that he had to do this very thing, he gave it to us. And he said, I'm out. Y'all finish. Right? So he gave us authority and power. Right? And so now, you and I, But we get caught up in the flesh. We get caught up. We wanted to say we get too. We shouldn't know ourselves in the flesh. But this is our worst enemy. We need to get to a place, you know, like I'm thinking, you know, when you think of a person who just gets born again, right? You can see that they're got some happiness with them a little bit, but you can see they're still insecure. They don't want to open their mouths too much. They don't want to say too much. Now, we don't want them to cuss. Or say something bad, so that's a good thing to be quiet. But you can tell that they're still identifying with their old self. When in actuality, when they got born again, they became a whole brand new creature. So, you know, so people can say, well, yeah, but you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter anymore. I mean, honestly, we need to stop beating ourselves up. We need to stop judging ourselves as unworthy, unholy, unrighteous, because the new creature in Christ is worthy, is righteous, and is holy. So immediately, that's why we have to stay in the Word. We have to get in the Word as soon as we get born again, so we can stop identifying with the old person and start identifying with the new person and realizing that we are innocent. We're innocent. But you don't know what I did. God's already forgiven you. Now go and sin no more. Right? That's all we got to do. And then go back to finding out who you are so you can love yourself, love God more, and start to function and start to change and operate in the earth, because we're here, you and I are here to enforce what Jesus did, which is to make everything that the devil did look like it never even happened. Right? And that's the supernatural power of God. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? So when we keep thinking about where we came from and what we've done in our past and who our parents were, or, you know, just all the stuff that keeps us familiar with ourselves, we're not able to bloom and blossom as a son of God. John says that Jesus, or God, gave everyone who receives Christ the ability to become a son of God. So we can't identify with our old selves and identify with being a son of God. We're God's offspring. I know I'm saying stuff, y'all already know. I'm just trying to put it into context. So we stop. We have to stop identifying with our old self and identify with our new self. And give ourselves a break. Why do I keep beating myself up? Why do I keep down on myself? Why do I keep dogging myself? You know, why don't I give myself a chance? Because we're too hard on ourselves, even though it's gone. If we were to bring these things up, God would ask you, what you talking about? Well, God, you don't know what I did to my kids. You don't know what I did to my employer, my husband. God said, what are you talking about? Your sins have been forgiven. If you don't start recommitting those things, you're cool. And so we have to look at ourselves even as innocent and understand that we're worthy now. Jesus made us worthy. His blood made us worthy. Dying on the cross made us worthy. He made us worthy because we could never make ourselves worthy. So we are worthy now to be loved, to be supported. We're worthy to have the power of God operating in us. We're worthy of using his name to undo all the devil's work, right? So our lives should get to a point where we see less and less evidence of the devil in our lives and in our families and in other people. Because we're supposed to be operating like sons of God. Tell somebody, you're a son of God just as surely as Jesus is. Amen? Matter of fact, God's plan, the scripture says that that Jesus, he's the mediator, right? One God, one mediator, and then it calls Jesus, and it says, and that mediator is the man, Christ Jesus. Somebody say, the man, Christ Jesus. So Jesus, who is sitting in heavenly places at the right hand of God, is a man. He'd never existed before. He was the only begotten of the Father. So we got a man who's seated with God, and then we, because we're born again, recreated a new creature in Christ, now we, the man, are seated with Jesus. So it ain't no thing. He's a man. He's got a resurrected body. We don't have that yet. But just as surely as he's a man in heaven, resurrected, right, conquered death and the grave, we, that means, that makes it doable that we be seated with him by faith. So when we operate in life, we have to start coming from a high place and not a low carnal place. And we learned about grace. Grace doesn't give you a license to sin, right? Grace gives you the ability to overcome it and to resist it and to beat it, right? The Bible says we get tempted when we're drawn away by our own lusts of the things that are still in us, right, that we need to take care of and stop associating with what we used to do so that we don't do it. But if we're hard on ourselves and we say, you know, I've always done this, I'll always do this, that's not true. The new creature wouldn't do it. Your old man habits do it. But grace allows us to overcome all of that. Amen? That's powerful. But you got to believe it. You got to believe it. So we're seated with him. We're not just here. We don't just get our authority from our boss. Are our parents. We get our authority now from heaven. So heaven's power comes down to earth, which means we get our authority and power from the unseen realm. And when we activate our faith, then that brings the power from the unseen realm to the natural realm. That's how we get it. So anything that happens in the natural, it happens first in the spiritual, right? Blessed with all spiritual blessings. Y'all get me? So there's a third heaven where God lives, God's country. There's a second heaven where spirits live and interfere. They interfere. They cause trouble. They're always making drama. They look for a license or open door that we give them so that they can have legal right to mess with us. The devil can't make us do anything. But he is a legalist, just like this is a legal document. God's a God of judgment. He already judged us, by the way. But this is a legal document, and Satan knows. So if he can keep us preoccupied with a whole bunch of junk, right? Getting caught up, I mean, come on, y'all can name it. Getting caught up in a whole bunch of stuff, right? And then we can't be who God called us to be. So it all gets cloudy. So when we, you know, Matthew 16 and 18, it says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Another translation says, whatever is allowed in heaven will be allowed in earth. Whatever is bound and illegal, what's another word? Because in heaven, that can't get in at all. What is forbidden in heaven, or what we bind on earth, should be what's forbidden in heaven. So when we find out by reading our Bibles, reading about God, when we find out what the culture of heaven is, and then we look down here, okay, we look at the word. If you get caught up into heaven, well, that's awesome. But we look at the word of God, find out the culture of heaven, and then we look down here, horizontal, and we say, that ain't heaven. No. Being broke, that ain't heaven. And then we have authority to bind that thing or loose the prosperity of God, because heaven is full of prosperity because God is there. You understand? So we have to know our word so that we know what is illegal, so that we can enforce it. You hear what I'm saying? We have to know what this says. We have to know what things look like. We have to know the blessing versus the curse. Because when the curse shows up, that is illegal, because Jesus became a curse for us when he died on the tree. Cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. He became a curse for us. So if it's not good, it's illegal. Unless we're messing around and open the door. We're doing ugly stuff. We're living like the devil instead of living like God. Right? It's that scripture said we used to do those things. We're not supposed to be doing those things no more. I know that's bad English. So, and then we enforce it. Anything that is not in heaven and it's happening down here, we need to enforce it. And we need to make that thing. If you're broke, you need to undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve it, because it's the work of the devil to be poor. And poverty is not of God. We all agree on that. But that's just an example. Sickness, disease, depression, mental illness is not in heaven. Amen? But that could be because of what a person thinks about. Again, just like I told Gail, the more we dig the old holes, this happened to me. I did this. We just dig deeper and deeper, and we keep rehearsing it, right? So we can't rehearse. We got to forget all of it. Stop thinking about it. Stop thinking about it. Stop thinking about what you did. Stop thinking. I mean, get healed. You can get healed. That's what I'm here for. That's what we're here for. Amen? So that we can make some progress. Praise God. You know, I've probably shared with y'all before that I had a dream where, and it's funny because I had it years ago, and Pastor Lamont wasn't in the dream. But I was walking down the hallway with some believers. You know, it was a busy place. It was almost like we had two lanes. We had a this way lane and a that opposite direction lane. But all of us were dressed in white, right? The building was white. Everybody was happy and had the joy of the Lord. And we just walked past each other. Hey, how you doing? You know. So that's where we need to get to. Where we're all happy and healthy and whole and sane and have the joy of the Lord and prosperous and healed. Did I say that? And healed and powerful. Powerful. We should tell the person next to you, you're supposed to be powerful. We should be powerful. All right, I'm going to. So 2 Corinthians 5:16, it says, know no one from a human standpoint. And that's, and I'm saying today, that includes yourself. Stop judging yourself according to the flesh. The old you died The habits are living, but you're a new creature in Christ. Amen? And that new creature knows how to live in God, but you have to renew your mind. Again, all this death scrolling, the Word of God has buku competition. And we need, you and I need to make sure we give this time. Otherwise, we'll get stuck where we are. Again, we'll get to heaven and say, and, you know, God showed, this is what I had for you. You know, there was a guy who went to heaven, and he was a businessman. And he was successful. He was prosperous. But while he was in heaven, he was looking at some books. He saw a library in heaven, everybody's book. And then his book was opened. And the angel, I think it was an angel, told him, he said, if you would pray in the spirit more, you would be more successful. And there are believers, Christians, who don't want the Holy Ghost. That's not wise. You need help. I've never seen the Holy Ghost take somebody over. I've seen some people fall under the power, but that means they were getting operated on. And they're just going to wake up better or get up off the floor better, I'm assuming, because God was working. He was doing something. Amen? But to reject the Holy Spirit is shooting your own self in the foot. We need wisdom. We need instructions. We need revelation. We need all the help we can get. And God was smart enough to give it all to us. I want it all today. That's a song, right? All right, let me shut this down. Are y'all you understanding me? So we get our authority from where? From heaven. It's vertical. And then we use it to work vertical when it comes to spirits, evil spirits, and when it comes to us functioning in the earth. Amen? So we have the authority to enforce what Jesus did and make everything undo everything that the devil did. And he caused great destruction through sin, right? So now it's up to us to fix things, starting with ourselves. Amen? All right, let me just, let's end on Psalm 82. I think I just gave them one verse. But I'm just giving you this to think about. This might be a little too deep for some people. All right, so, yeah, I just gave them verse 7. So let me read Psalm 82. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible. Okay? So, again, this is for us to look high and not look low. Right? And that scripture talks about mere men. Mere men, regular men, work horizontal. Spiritual men work vertically. They know where they get their power from. They know where they get their authority from. Right? So, Psalm 82, it says, God stands in the assembly of the representatives of God. In the midst of the magistrates or judges, he gives judgment as among the gods. How long will you? Now, this is talking to us. This was prophetic, right? This is talking to us. How long will you magistrates or judges judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Selah. Pause and calmly think of that. This is what we're supposed to be doing with our authority. Do justice to the weak and poor and fatherless. Maintain the rights of the afflicted and needy. I wish I brought my Passion Translation. Always, things like this always sound better. Deliver the poor and needy. Rescue them out of the hand of the wicked. Not only are we we've been delivered out of the hand of the wicked, and now we should go forth and deliver other people out of the hand of the wicked. Now, if y'all don't like deliverance and stuff, that's coming. Because we need to be cleaned up. We need to get rid of all our resident demons. Not that you're possessed, but we know about familiar spirits. They know your family. They know your history. They have a legal right. Somebody has this disease, they'll put it on you. But we're not supposed to fall for it. Say, dude, the buck stops here. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Right? So we need to get rid of all that familiar stuff and kick the devil out. Kick him out. Amen? Do justice to the weak, poor, and fatherless. Maintain the rights of the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rescue them out of the hand of the wicked. The magistrates and judges know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness of complacent satisfaction. This is the Amplified. All the foundations of the earth, the fundamental principles upon which rest the administration of justice, are shaking. I said, you are gods. We're sons of God, right? But we function. We're supposed to function like gods or like God. I said, you are gods since you judge on my behalf. We're supposed to be judging evil, judging demons, judging poverty, judging ugly things, judging things that are part of the curse. We're supposed to be judging those things on God's behalf. Amen. And let us get out of the pig pen, if you will, where we always need it, where we always need deliverance. So that's why we need to be delivered, and then just let's move. Let's be on the move, amen? I said, you are God, since you judge on my behalf as my representatives. Indeed, all of you are children of the Most High. Verse 7, but you shall die as men and fall as one of the princes. Tell the person next to you, say, don't die like a regular man. Now, when I say man, I'm talking about spirit man. Right? Which includes us. But you shall die as men. I don't want to die as a regular man or woman who didn't make an impact, who you couldn't tell God lived inside of her, who couldn't, you can't tell I got any authority from anywhere or any power from anywhere. I'm just left on my own with batteries and electric. No, I want supernatural power. And it says, arise, O God, judge the earth, for to you belong all the nations. Amen. Tell the person next to you again, say, don't die like a regular man. Say, you're supernatural. Say, you're God's seed. You're God's offspring. You're seated with Christ because God sat you there. Say, you're not limited to this earthly realm. Because you're only unlimited according to the spirit realm. Say, you have power and authority to do whatever you need to do to shut down whatever you need to shut down and cause heaven on earth. Amen? We're supposed to have heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. When people come here, they should feel it. They should feel the presence of God. They should feel the glory of God. They should feel the love of God. Amen? And I'm believing God, they're going to see it. They're going to see the glory. They're going to see the glory. This, in Jesus' name, is a glory church. So pray for me. Pray for me as your leader. pray for us as a congregation. Amen. So we don't waste our time coming to church. We should expect something to happen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all get anything out of this? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. God is a good God, and he's got great plans for us. And we're seated with Christ. And that's the truth. But we're seated with him by faith. So let's take our place. Let's take our position. Amen? And stop being mere men and women. Just regular men and women. We need to be representatives of God and his love and his power and where he lives. Praise God. Amen. Well, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to, before I end the message, I want to just make sure that there's nobody here who has never asked Jesus to be Lord of your life. You know, salvation is a personal thing. Your mom can't get you saved. Your husband can't get you saved. You have to accept the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord. And so I just want to give anybody opportunity with every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to pray a simple prayer. It's so simple. Faith is just believing what God says. And he says that if you believe on the Lord Jesus, you confess him with your mouth, believe in your heart, then you'll be saved. God will do the rest. He'll do the supernatural and the miraculous. Amen? And thank God it's painful. It's painful. We don't have to be like what's those things, Legos, where he clicks us. Even though he does do that on the inside, we turn from one creature to another. But it's not painful. He does it, and he does it beautifully. So if you will, just repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that I am a sinner. I also believe that you are a Savior. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you served my sentence in hell. I also believe that God the Father raised you from the dead to live forever, seated at the right hand of God, so that I could accept you as my Lord and Savior. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you now to come into my heart, come into my life, change me, use me, do a beautiful thing with my life. Say, I am born again by faith, a son of God, a daughter of God. I thank you, Lord. I believe. Amen. Amen. Anybody, you can just raise your hand. Anybody pray that prayer for the very first time? You may pray that prayer for the very first time. You pray that prayer for the very first time? You too? Both of y'all. Both of you. Yay. Praise God. Were you raising your hand for him, or you're raising your hand for you? Young lady. Both of you? Okay, good. Great, 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 great. So, most people get embarrassed, but Gary has it right here, Gary, fourth row. Can you stand up so he can see you? He wants to give you some information. There he is. Aw. Okay, y'all gonna go with the. Stephanie's gonna take you. Let's give them a hand. Praise God. Praise the Lord. All right, everybody. All right, who is Mr. Vonda? Minister Vonda is gonna come and lead us in our tithes and offerings. So why don't you welcome her? Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Connie, for that word. And when you said at one point, oh, I know you've all heard that before, but that's okay. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, so we needed to hear it again. And that's what the Lord laid on my heart regarding giving. Every Sunday, we listen to the ministers and elders share scriptures about giving, and we hear some of the same verses every other week, every other month, but that's okay because we can't exhaust the word of God. So as our leaders teach about tithes and offerings, it's important for us to not become familiar with the word of God. For the Bible says in Amplified Mark 4:24, it says, and he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. The God's Word translation says, pay attention to what you're listening to. Knowledge will be measured out to you by the measure of attention you give. This is the way knowledge increases. And the Living Bible says, and be sure to put into practice what you hear. The more you do this, the more you will understand what I tell you. So when we get to this portion of the service, it's not just a routine thing that we do. We really have to pay attention because the scriptures on giving that are ministered to us, they're designed to support us, to bolster our faith, to increase our faith so that we have a firm foundation on which to act. And that action would be paying our tithes and giving our offerings. So there's two scriptures today that I want you to take heed to and not become familiar with are Malachi 3:10. From the Living Bible, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be food enough in my temple. If you do, I will open up the windows of heaven for you and pour out a blessing so great you won't have room enough to take it in. Try it. Let me prove it to you. And the second scripture is from Luke 6:38. For if you give, you will get. Your gift will return to you in full and overflowing measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more and running over. Whatever measure you use to give, large or small, will be used to measure what is given back to you. So today, hear God's word in faith and believe you receive all that he has for you. So please turn your attention to the monitors for ways to give.
Here at Living Faith, we have made giving easy by using electronic options as much as possible. You can text to give by texting LFCCNJ to 77977. You can give once or set up as a recurring gift. Just enter in your details, confirm your gift, and you're done. You can give through our LFCCNJ church app. This method will look similar to text to give. The iOS version of the app can be downloaded at the App Store, or you can get the Android version on Google Play. You can also give online at lfccnj.com/giving. If these options are not possible, you can obtain a pink envelope and deposit it as you leave. We thank you again for joining us today. God bless you.
Praise God. Is everyone ready to give? Does anyone need an envelope? Okay, so at this time, let's stand and let's declare our confession over our seed. We ready? It's not a routine thing. We decree that because we are tithers, we receive the promise of Scripture that protects those who tithe and give offerings. As a household, we are committed to tithe and give into the Lord's work. Therefore, we claim tithers' rights. That means no devourer, destroyer, waster, plunderer, or pillager can rob from us in Jesus' name. They cannot steal our blessing or fruitful harvest. They cannot steal from our home, businesses, or from any of our loved ones. The destroyer can't strip away our heritage or harm our children. We stand in the tither's blessing, which promises that the Lord will rebuke the evil one on our behalf. We stand in the tither's blessing that the Lord will open heaven's treasure and pour out blessings we do not have room enough to receive. We stand confident that the tithe is raising a standard against every demonic plot and attack. We have faith that as Jesus, our Lord and eternal high priest, stands in heaven receiving our tithe, we are under the covenant of his blessing. We prophesy that the promise to the tither rests upon our families in Jesus' name, according to Malachi 3:11, Hebrews 7 and 8. Amen. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, dear God, for your word on giving and tithing. We thank you for the promises that you have given to us, letting us know that if we tithe, you will open the windows of heaven. And as we give, it will be given back to us. And Father, I just thank you that we continue to meditate on your word, that we take your word, we believe your word, we believe in faith, and we know that we have all that you promised for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise God. Good afternoon, everyone. A special thanks for everyone who served this past Saturday for the Thanksgiving food distribution. Your service, along with everyone's donation, along with the food bank, allow us to provide meals for 131 families. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, and may God richly bless you and each and every one of you for your love and your service. Please remember to join us each Wednesday at 7 p.m. for our regularly scheduled midweek online service via YouTube. We are looking forward to having you and connecting with you through our message. Calling young adults ages 18 to 30, the Epic Young Adult Ministry invites you to join them on the third Saturday directly following service today in Salon 4. This is our monthly meeting, and we look forward to seeing you there. And lastly, the business office will be closed on Thursday. I have a note here. Thursday, November 27th and the 29th. Praise God. Okay. And so we want you to enjoy your time with your families. All right? Amen. So at this time, let's welcome back Pastor Connie.
What's the help stand for again? Having enough loving people serving helps. Oh, not everybody. What about this left? Yeah, I don't remember. Oh, that one? Oh, yeah. Okay. Both those people? Okay. So we've got some people to recognize today, our water baptism people. Amen. All right, so Mikhail, I hope I said that right. Mikhail Taliaferro. You dry yet? No. Stay here, please. Hi, Mikhail. Did I say it right? Okay. Nasir Taliaferro. Come on, give him a hand. Hi. How you doing? Greg Quartelbaum. Always want to say Quartelbaum. Quartelbaum. Come on, Greg. Come on, Greg. And then Michaela Coleman. Michaela Coleman. Nice. Hey, cutie. All right, let's give them another hand. Your hair's still wet. Good job. Praise the Lord. All right. They're enjoying it, so. All right. Y'all can, you can go back to your seat. Amen. Praise God. So now it's not a secret. Y'all born again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to, do we have any first-time visitors? Any first-time visitors? You're here for the very first time. Hi. Yep, let's shake her hand or something. Anybody else? Anybody else in the room? Where? In the back? Oh, okay. Debbie's shaking his hand. Welcome. Come on, y'all. Say, welcome to Living Faith. Thanks for coming. We hope you're blessed by the praise and worship or the word or the announcements. Amen. Something. The people. Amen. And you're welcome back anytime. You're welcome back anytime. So thank you so much for coming. While I'm asking about that, anybody here, you want to make Living Faith your church home? You need a church home. You need a church home. You need people around you. You need people to help protect you, to encourage you. Amen? People to hang around. Have them listen to you. Praise God. Anybody? Just raise your hand. Anyone? Praise the Lord. All right. Y'all ready to go home? All right. Well, you can stand to your feet, and we'll close out in prayer. The altar, the elders, and ministers, if you need prayer, they'll be up here at the altar, amen, to touch and agree with you, give some power to your word where two or three are gathered. Lord said he'll be in the midst. Praise God. God answers prayers. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for this day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Yay! Praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you so much that you've prepared the way for us. God, you've guaranteed our success when we trust you, when we have faith. And we heard today, when we are seated with you by faith, we will receive all the power, all the authority that we need to live this life successfully and to help other people. Father, we agree with your word. You said that we were blessed. That means we are blessed, happy, fortunate, empowered to prosper, and to be envied. If you're in agreement with that, say, I'm blessed. All right, love you.